Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be worshipped. John chapter 1 this evening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim, will you tweak the monitors just a little bit for me? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's been good in this service, hasn't He? And I just want Him to help us through the preaching of the Word. I know a lot of us, if you stop to think of the week ahead, you don't want to stop and think of the week ahead. And but that's what church does. It changes our perspective. Amen. I'm going to preach about that tonight. I'm going to preach about the quick perspective change. The quick perspective change. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm trying to stay out of John. I mentioned last week that I've been preparing for some time for a series on Sunday morning in John, and I still don't see that in the near future, but I just can't hardly stay out of it. I've been trying, but I can't stay out of it. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Listen, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Normally when these verses are preached from, rightfully so, the message is about evangelism. Philip went, found Nathanael. Or the message is about the sovereign knowledge of Christ, his divine omnipotent or omniscient knowledge. But I want to look at something a little different tonight. I'll be doing this in the preaching as well. But I want you to take and look with me. Brother Mike's going to help me. I want you to contrast what Nathanael said in verse 46 and then what he said in verse 49. Watch this. In verse 46, Nathanael said, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? But look at verse 49. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael had a perspective change. Suddenly he's looking at things differently. Hallelujah. How many believes God can change your way of looking at things? He can change your perspective. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. This week I walked past Sister Ruth's bulletin board in the outer foyer, and she had the theme that I introduced the department heads to at the beginning of the year and preached on through January. The theme I felt for the church this year, encountering God. Encountering God. And when I walked past the bulletin board and saw that all over again, I was struck with the need that when we come to church, we need to encounter God. You cannot encounter God and leave the same. You can't do it. That was one incident this week, but the second was, I'm like the rest of you. You know, things start piling up in the week, and your mind gets preoccupied, and things get to bothering you, and there's concern, and there's anxiety. Sometimes there's those clouds of discouragement come in. And I remember one day feeling all of that, and I went to the prayer room, and I began to pray, and I began to seek the Lord. And I encountered God in the prayer room, and as I got up and I left, I realized I was looking at everything differently. My whole perspective had changed. My way of thinking about things had changed. My way of feeling about things had changed. My outlook had changed. And once again, I marveled of how quickly being in the presence of God can change your perspective of things. I also noticed, now I believe God does miracles and I believe God changes situations. But Brother Norvell, when I left that prayer room, no situation had changed. I'd got no news that anything was different out there as far as what was going on. But nothing had changed, but my perspective had changed. Glory to God. I know God can change things in your life. He may not change those tonight or tomorrow, but I tell you what, He can change. He can change your perspective. Hallelujah. He can change your way of looking at things. You can leave here with a different attitude, a different mood, a different spirit, a different perspective, a different outlook. That's what He's able to do. Hallelujah. Oh, I've already pointed it out. But notice Nathaniel's change of perspective. I'm going to look at these scriptures in a moment, but I want you to notice again the contrast in verse 46. I mean, his voice is filled with scorn and cynicism. He is filled with doubt and unbelief. You can almost sense it. He's not in a good mood over what Philip had to share with him. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, when he looked at the situation, he looked at what Philip was telling him, all you sense is scorn. Almost a bad attitude and a bad mood. But just a few steps later, just a few minutes later, and in our Bible, just a few verses later, verse 49, Nathanael says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. I mean, nothing had changed in one sense, but Nathanael's whole outlook had changed. Why? Why did that happen? The simple answer is he had an encounter with God. He came face to face with Jesus Christ. He had entered into the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, when you enter into the presence of the Lord, your perspective of things is going to change. Your attitude's going to change. Your mood's going to change. Your heart's going to change. Your life's going to change. I'm telling you, that's the power of His presence. I want to tell you tonight, if things have gone sour in your life, if you're depressed, discouraged, or on the other hand, apathetic and indifferent, don't give up. Don't leave here in the same mood and attitude and frame of mind. Amen. Come into the presence of God. Have an encounter with Jesus, and He'll change your perspective. How did that all happen? How did it happen in Nathanael's life? I read it to you, but let's revisit it for just a moment here. Philip, that's an evangelism theme. He went searching for his friend Nathanael, and when he located Nathanael, he said unto him, we have found him. Oh, what a great testimony. We have found him. You know, every one of us that is born again, you have that testimony. You're able to go to the lost and say, I have found him. I have found the Savior. I have found the Messiah. I have found my Lord. I can hear Brother Lundmark used to preach revivals for him. I can hear him singing. Oh, he'd sing it with power. I have found him of whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies the longing, and by His grace, I am saved. Amen. Nathanael ought to be had been excited about what Philip was telling him. Philip was excited. He's coming, Nathanael. I found him. I found him. I found him. I have found the Messiah. I have found the one that Moses wrote of and the prophets did write. I have found him. His name is Jesus. Oh, Philip was excited. Nathanael could have been too, but he wasn't. How did he respond to Philip's exciting testimony? I doubt it. Oh, really? There's even prejudice. You know, back then, they were prejudiced over what town they were from. There was even a little prejudice there. Nathanael was of Cana. And when he heard Philip say, the Messiah has come from Nazareth. Nazareth was known as a city. We'd almost say roughnecks today. It was a city of people that were looked down upon. And Nathanael, when he heard Philip say that, he said, oh, really? You're going to try to tell me that the Messiah has come from Nazareth? Nazareth? I mean, there's no hope in Nathanael's response. There's no belief. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's only cynicism and doubt and scorn. I mean, that is the way that Philip responded. But notice what Philip's response was to Nathanael's bad attitude. What did Philip say? Did he argue with him? Did he get in a big debate with him? No, you know what he did, Sister Brock? He said to the bad attitude, Nathanael, and now Nathanael's still a good man, but his response, he said to him, "You don't believe it? Come and see." You know what Philip was saying? What you need is a change of perspective, and the best way to have a change of perspective is to have an encounter with him, to have an encounter with Jesus, to have the experience of his presence. Hallelujah. Come and see. Amen. Later, the Bible writer says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I'm telling you, if things look impossible in your life, if everything's gone sour, if everything looks dark, I've got information for you. It's what Philip said. You just need to come and see. Hallelujah. You need to come into his presence. When you've come into his presence, when you've seen his glory, when you've seen his face, oh, it's going to make a change in you. It'll change your attitude, outlook, perspective, everything about you. I'm telling you, there's some folks in this service tonight. Amen. Things are sour in your mind, in your heart. You need to come and see. If you'll just come and experience for yourself, I promise you, it'll change you. To Nathanael's credit, he went with Christ. He went with Philip to see Christ. Look at verse 47. Now here's how it happened. Here's how this quick change in Nathanael's perspective happened. The short answer is, he got in the presence of Jesus. But look what happened in the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Jesus noticed Nathanael. If this was like usual, there was crowds teeming around Christ. But Jesus saw Nathanael. I'm telling you, the first thing that ought to change our perspective is the knowledge that Jesus notices us. He notices right where we're at. He notices us. He has seen you in the house of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Way back when God's people were in Egyptian bondage and God spoke through Moses that he was going to deliver them, one of the first things God told Moses, he said, "You tell my people, I see their affliction. I see their bondage." I'm telling you, it'll change your perspective to know that he notices you. Your family may have not noticed the difficulty you're having. Your family may not have noticed. Usually there's an indication. Amen. When dad's under pressure, usually there's an indication of that in the family, right? When wife's under pressure, usually there's an indication of that. But a lot of times folks don't notice what we're going through. But Jesus does. Aren't you glad he notices? The second thing is, Jesus, when he saw Nathanael coming, saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, and whom is no guile." Never met him. But Jesus was reading Nathanael like a book. He turned to the people around him and said, "See that man coming? This is the kind of man he was." He was illustrating that he knew Nathanael. He not only noticed him in the crowd, noticed him come, he illustrated that he knew Nathanael inside and out. If you want to change a perspective, you need to understand something. God knows you. God knows you inside and out. Many times when people are in the gloom of doubt and pressure and hard trouble, I always like to recommend Psalm 139. In fact, sometimes I've acted like a doctor when they've come to me with their problems, that I've got the prescription for you. And I write out on my little pieces of paper and I say, when you get home, read Psalm 139. And the psalmist said, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising." Notice the word "know." Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. On and on, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or flee from thy presence? On and on. And his message is, the Lord knows me. It changes your perspective of your problem, your crisis, your difficulty. Even when you just stop and realize the Lord knows you. He knows how you feel. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what you think. Amen. And that's what he was telling Nathaniel. I know you, Nathaniel. You've never met me, Lord. Oh, but I already know you because I'm God. Hallelujah. Not only did the Lord notice Nathaniel and know Nathaniel, notice that he nailed Nathaniel. I'm just going to use some common vernacular. He nailed him. He, knowing Nathaniel, he knew exactly what Nathaniel's problem was, what Nathaniel's difficult of believing was, what Nathaniel's struggle with doubt was. And so he did something, he said something that answered Nathaniel's doubts. I want to tell you something. When Jesus looked at Nathaniel and said, "Behold, thou art an Israelite in whom is no guile," that stopped Nathaniel in his tracks. He's looking at Jesus and he's, I don't know. I don't know that man. How does he know me? Nathaniel saith in verse 48, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus is going to nail him here. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast in thy lazy boy chair," you knew that, didn't you? That's what fig tree was in the Bible. God promised Israel. He said, "When you go in to possess the land of promise, I'll give every man a fig tree to sit under." And when a man wanted some privacy, when a man wanted to relax, he had his fig tree that he went out and he sat under to get away and to relax and rest. That's because they didn't have lazy boys back then. If God had been writing in our time, he said, "When you get to the land of promise, I'll give every man a lazy boy." I was wondering about that this afternoon. Why is Dad's chair always the most desirable chair in the house? I have to kick my kids out of my lazy boy all the time. I always ask them, "Do you want to get out of your own or do you want to fly out?" But we digress. I digress. He said, "Before that Philip called thee, whilst thou wert under the fig tree, I saw thee." Now remember, Philip went to get Nathanael. Nathanael and Philip were around Jesus. There was a distance here. But when Philip went to get Nathanael, Nathanael was out in the garden or wherever, out on the countryside, sitting under a fig tree. And the implication is, because that's what men did under a fig tree, he was contemplating things, he was musing things, he was struggling with things as he sat under his fig tree. Now, Nathanael knows that Jesus didn't come with Philip. And Nathanael knows that Philip is taking him to Jesus. So Nathanael knows that Jesus was nowhere around when Philip located him under the fig tree. And for Nathanael to walk up there with Philip and Jesus to look at Nathanael and say, "I saw you when Philip got to your house. I saw how Philip had to go out and get you from out under your fig tree." I'm telling you, Nathanael's mind was blowing breakers. How did Jesus know that? I mean, that would be like you coming to church on Sunday morning and I look at you and I say, "I know what you did Wednesday at 10 o'clock and you were somewhere across the country and you're thinking to yourself, I know you weren't there, Pastor. How did you know?" I mean, and they didn't have phones or cell phones or text or computers. I mean, Nathanael knows that this has been a divine, a God moment where the God who knows all things and no things are hid from his eyes, no things are secret to him. I mean, there's only one way that Jesus could have known that Philip called him from under the fig tree, and that reason was Jesus wasn't true God. He was the Messiah. He was the King that knew all things. Hallelujah. Amen. Nathanael saying, "Is this the Messiah?" And Jesus nails it and proves to him that he is in truth the Messiah. I'm telling you, that's the thing about the presence of the Lord. He'll nail you every time. How many's noticed that? I mean, you'll come to church, something you struggle with all week, and somebody will testify, or the song will be sung, or the message will be preached, and God will nail you. How many knows the truth? And I know it's divine, because I've preached before, and people have met me afterwards and said, when you preach, you said such and such, and it was the exact thing that I needed to hear. And I'll search my mind. I could go through my notes. I could listen to the CD. And as far as I'm concerned, I never said that. But through the preaching, God took what was being said and made it what it needed to be heard. And he nailed that person. Some folks don't like that, but I like that. You see, he notices you and he knows you. Therefore, he's able to nail you. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows what you've been feeling. He knows what you've been struggling. He knows what you've been questioning. Oh, hallelujah. He's able to now. I'm talking about how Nathanael's perspective changed and changed so quickly. Because when he came into the presence of Jesus, Nathanael stood there and suddenly he was aware. He notices me when he shouldn't have noticed me. He knows me when he's never met me. And now he's nailed me. He's answered my every question. He's addressed my every doubt. Oh, hallelujah. And suddenly Nathanael's attitude changes. His mood changes. Amen. His whole perspective changes. He had been saying, this can't be the Messiah. The Messiah can't come from Nazareth. And now he's saying, oh, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of... Oh, everything about Nathanael has changed. And I'm telling you, not only did his perspective change, his life change, his walk change, his future change, his destiny change. Oh, I'm thankful for a God who can change his inside and out, and he can do it quickly, suddenly, if we allow him to. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. He's nailing him again. You know, Jesus is too kind to say, you came here a big doubter, unbeliever. But Jesus still nailing him. He said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? I mean, Nathanael, you couldn't just take the word of someone that came shouting, I have found him. You had to have some special sign, and I gave it to you. But he said, you believe over that? He said, Nathanael, you got to realize something. There's more to come. There's more to come. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now, I want you to know, Nathanael, looking for the Messiah, he was a Jew that was tired of Roman occupation, tired of being a slave to Rome, and he was looking for the Jewish Messiah that would overthrow Rome. I want you to know, at this moment, Rome was still in power. The Jews were still slaves. Their land was still conquered. Amen. Nothing had changed in outward circumstances. Get this. But Nathanael's attitude and perspective had changed. Now, again, God does change outward circumstances. But I want you to believe the outward circumstances that is messing up your way of thinking, messing up your and our attitude, it may not change. But our attitude towards it can change. Our perspective. How many believes God sits on the throne and works all things together for them that love God? But Jesus said to him, your perspective has changed, but you're also going to see the outward things change too. Greater things than these shall you see. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's a reference to when Jacob saw that ladder with the angels, a path all the way. And what Jesus is saying, you've seen one proof that I'm the Messiah, that I'm God. But the heavens are going to open and you're going to see more and more and more proofs that I am the Messiah, the Son of Man. You're going to see the blind healed, the deaf ears open. You're going to see the lame walk. You're going to see the dead raised to life. And before it's over with, not only are you going to have a change of perspective, you're going to have a change of life. Hallelujah. You're going to have a change of every circumstance. I want to ask you tonight, do you need a change of perspective? Do you need that? I begin to think of those times when off of the West Indies, when boats sailed by the wind, how they would get caught in that particular place with no current and no wind for days after days, baking in that hot sun, just stalled out in the middle of the ocean, looking for the sails to stir in the wind and beginning to starve, the water running out, the food running out. I mean, talk about despair. Amen. Everything looked hopeless, but all of a sudden there come a breeze and it feel the sails and push them out of what we call the doldrums back into the traffics of water. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord can do tonight. You may feel stalled out, bogged down. Amen. But this change of perspective will be like breeze in the sails. Or maybe it's after a time of great drought and folks think it's never going to rain. And then all of a sudden everything changes in a moment, because here comes the rain. I'm talking about God can change things in a moment. When the rain begins to pour down, the drought is over, everything has changed. Or maybe it's the opposite, like we've had around here, been days and days and days of clouds, but you let the sun break out just one morning, not a cloud in the sky. The sky is blue and the sun is bright. I'm talking about just that one moment of that morning after all those cloudy days, that moment of sunshine, and everything about your attitude, everything about your perspective. I'm telling you, that's what happens when you get in the presence of God. He'll put a breeze into your sails. He'll give you a sun in your skies, and suddenly everything is different. Everything is changed. What about it tonight? Your mind has been in a rut, bogged down with worrisome thoughts. Your mood has been stuck, has been soured. Your feelings need straightened out, and they won't straighten out. Amen. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to come and see. You need to come into the presence of God. Don't hesitate tonight when the altar call is given. Come and see. Get into the presence of God, and He can change your perspective, and He can do it quickly. Would you come, music, tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad what He can do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mind keeps getting stuck on something humorous, and Sister Susan, I don't think you'll mind my sharing this. I shared it at the memorial service, Sister Johnson. But she began to come here several years ago, and after church she would meet me and say, "Pastor Hurst, that's sure good preaching tonight. I guess, because I didn't hear a word of it." She was having difficulty hearing. Night after night, "Pastor, that was really good preaching tonight. I guess. I didn't hear a word of it." And so we got these, we had others, and we got these special devices, little transistor radios with earphones, and they're hooked up to the PA system. And you put the earphone in, and you have your own volume control. That's not to turn me down, it's to turn me up. And back in the sound room, they control this sound, but you could control it. So when we got those, I went to Sister Johnson. I said, "Look what we got for you." I said, "Won't you try this tonight? You just put these earphones on, showed her how it worked and everything." And I was preaching, and I looked out there. She had it on. You know, she's using it. After service, I went over to see how it worked. She looked at me, never smiled. She said, "Tonight was the first night I really heard you preach. Here, take this thing." Her perspective changed because she heard something. First time she had heard. Maybe you just haven't seen yet. Maybe your perspective needs change. You just haven't seen yet. You just haven't heard from God yet. You just haven't been in His presence yet. Would you stand across the building? I'm going to give Phillip's invitation. And if you're here tonight, you'd be real honest. We're here to get help, folks. Is that right? You know, I was praying in the prayer room, "Lord, there are some that's, even in the midst of your moving in our services, there are some that are sliding backwards, moving away from you. God, arrest their movement away from you tonight. Get a hold of them. Change their way of looking at things." And I'm going to give the invitation Phillip gave. Come and see. I'm not going to say, "Oh, you're bad to have an attitude that way," or "How could you think that?" or "How could you doubt that?" I want to simply say with Philip, come and see. Come into His presence. I believe if you will sincerely come into His presence and pray and pour out your heart to God, knowing that He notices, He knows you, and He can nail you. If you'll come, I believe you can leave this altar with a change of perspective. I wonder how many would be real honest tonight and just begin to fill these altars and say, I want God to change my perspective, my outlook, amen, tonight. Would you begin to come? I need a change of perspective. I mean, I'm bogged down here. I'm just bogged down. I don't like the way I'm looking at things. Amen. Would you come and see? Would you enter into His presence? Come on, let's pray. Let's really pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah.